If you have your Bible, so I want you to turn to Psalm 16. I'm going to finish this message up today, Psalm 16. If you need a Bible, there's probably one sitting in front of you or next to you. I want us to start with really the last verse, which is verse 11. Hopefully you've enjoyed this series. It's good to see everyone. I know that we're on the eve of some holidays coming up, and doesn't feel like this is the end of summer since school seems so different starting. You know what I mean? All this virtual stuff. I like seeing people face to face. It's not the same on a computer. I said it's not the same on a computer. It's not. So for you educators that are here, I give you credit. I pray for you what to do and all this stuff and to maintain and, you know, so be it. In Psalm 16, verse 11, are you there? It says, "You will show me the path of life, and in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." How many realize that the closer you get to the Lord, the more joyful it is? There's an experience that comes with being in God's presence that you can't compare to anything else. Happiness depends on what's happening. Are you with me? It's a happiness. But when you have joy, it goes beyond that. It's another level. It's more realm of peace and thanksgiving and a surety. Because the Bible says that in His presence is fullness of joy. I don't believe personally we've experienced all that yet. We've had touches of it. But can you imagine one day in Jesus' presence in the fullness, and there He is and there you are? How many believe that's going to be an awesome time? That's why anyone who ever goes to heaven doesn't want to come back. It's so glorious. No matter how well you've had it here, it does not compare. And that's something that we're going to have forever. Joy will be something that we will possess forever and ever and ever. That is a great thing. If heaven was a dirt floor and the buildings were made of straw and we had the joy, it wouldn't matter. Now, I know the Lord's used better material than that, but I want us to know that He is our reward. If we look at Jesus as our reward in heaven, then the rest is just the benefit of that. Now, I know there are streets like transparent gold. I know the water's clear as crystal. I understand that the pearls are one gate is one pearl. But if we have Him as our reward, truly we can walk in that. I want you to turn this down just a little bit. Notice verse 11. Says, "You'll show me the path of life." All of us in this room need to know that we're on a journey. Would you agree? That we can walk this whole life and not really realize that there's a destiny that we're headed for. When you get saved, turn up just a touch. When you get saved, you need to realize that, hey, your destiny has changed. The path that you were on was a path of destruction. Now you're on the path of life. And listen to me, it's a narrow path. It isn't wide, it's narrow. But I've learned this over time. It's well beaten. It's a well-traveled path. When it comes to the Lord, His illumination in your life many times will be one more step ahead. Sometimes we want to map it all out so far, and there's nothing wrong with planning. But I've learned this. Sometimes your plans change in a moment. How many agree to that? Sometimes things are here, and all of a sudden, boom, it's over this way. So I've learned this, that if I have my daily bread and I walk in with the Lord, you know what? I have enough for the next step. And that next step is a step of surety. I won't miss it. Then all of a sudden there's enough for the next step. The problem in life is when there's a fork in the road and both decisions seem right. Oh, nobody says amen to that. How many of us at that moment there, you listen to me, that's where we really need to look. Say, Lord, give me wisdom. God will never speak anything contrary to His Word. There's no gray areas with Him. There's no shadow of turning. So if it's an area of sin, the Lord's not going to direct you there. If God sets you free from alcohol, He's not going to send you to the bar so you can see how far you can get close to a drink. Say amen. Sometimes we like testing, we're tempting. Listen to me, we all have flesh. I've learned this. You can get victory over something the enemy will try to bring it back in your life the next day. You can get victory over something and 10 years later he'll start to try to still bring that up to you. As long as we're in this flesh, we have that tendency to go towards sin. Sin's like a magnet. And if you're steel, you're going towards it. But I've learned this, that if you can get it to the opposite end of the pole, how many knows that no matter how you do it, it starts to force away? Who ever played with magnets before? How many knows when it's like a track, boom, it slams together. But when it can repel, I want it to be that way in sin. I haven't arrived yet, but I want it to be that I'm just repelled. How many want to walk with the purity of a little child again? We all know enough about evil. Say amen. I need to be a little more naive in that area and a little more in righteousness. Notice it says this, you'll make known to me the path of life. It's the way of life. The practical experience will come because Christ is with us. In Proverbs 5 verse 6, it says, let us shoulder or ponder the path of life. It's unmovable. And listen to me, and you shall know. Well, I want to know them. I want to know the path of life. I want to shoulder that path. And I also want to be able to lead others in that path of righteousness. I want to be so firm on that path that, you know what? I'm not moved to the left or right. Too many things today are scattered all over. I said they're scattered all over. We need to get back to that focus. The only thing I can say good about this pandemic is some people have spent more time with their families than they have before, which was needed. And our entertainment industry needs to take a second seat along with our sports industry so we can start getting focused again. And those two things I don't mind. Now, I have a problem with movies or sports. But I want you to know that Christ needs to be preached. We need to get back to being centered on Him. Say amen. The third thing is that it exposed a lot of fear in the body of Christ. It made a demarcation line between fear and faith. Now, I'm realistic on all the things. I'm not foolish in those. But I know people that are so afraid to even go out. Come on, we have to live too. Come on, we have to live. I said, we have to live. We need to encourage others. My father is in a senior living center, and we can see him through the window. That's hard. I mean, you need personal contact. Their place is so locked down that you can't even hand them something. You got to put it in this box, and they come out and get it and bring it in. Whatever. Notice it said it'll show me the path of life, the practical experiences. The longer you live on this planet, you should have that working in you. But we also should be able to say, this is the path of life. When people are lost, they don't know it in the natural. They just wander around and say, this is the way life is. But when God begins to work on hearts, you ever notice that all of a sudden the spiritual things start to pop up a little more? When I look at you in this room, how did you ever get saved? When I look at us in here, look at the ex-heathens in this room. How did God ever reach you? And if God reached you, everybody else is easy. We need to have that in our spirit, that somehow God reached you. And now when you look at it, here was the path of death and I was on it, and here's the path of life, now I'm on that. We should be able to lead people to this path of righteousness. We should be able to give an account. And more than ever, people's hearts are beginning to open up. You know what the Lord shared with me yesterday in prayer? He said, slowly you're going to see people begin to return that have been away. I'm not talking about people for the virus, but people who have forsaken the Lord slowly begin to come back to the path of righteousness. Because see, His Holy Spirit's not giving up on people. We shouldn't either. We shouldn't give up on people. We should continue to pray for them. He's going to begin to slowly bring them in. Maybe that's your family. Maybe it's somebody you prayed for. Maybe it's somebody who doesn't like you. Say amen. How many knows Jesus was the greatest person ever and people hated Him? And they hated Him without a cause. Oh, say God's good. In Proverbs 15, verse 24, it says this, the way of life is above to the wise. that you may depart from hell beneath. Notice that the way of life is always elevated, and hell's always been determined that it's beneath, the lower end of the earth. How many like that elevated life? Man, when you got saved, God translated you. He didn't make you just like some scum of the earth. You became the righteousness of God in Christ. You became a child of the Most High God. If you are saved, you are a privileged person. Heaven is your home. Jesus is your Lord. And you get God as your Father. I'd rather have God as my Father than Satan as my Father. Say amen. Notice the life is above. All of us in here, we need to follow that path. It's a path of righteousness. For his commands in Proverbs 6, verse 23, for the commands of the Lord is a lamp. The law is a light. It reproves and gives instruction to the way of life. Then, Lord, I want your law in my heart, written on there. It's more than being in the page, because it's nice written down in a page, but the page doesn't matter unless it's written in your hearts and minds. It needs to go from the page and right here. How many here have ever had a scripture come up when temptation was near? How many think that's a good remedy? It's a good weapon. There's been times the Lord has spoke this to me. Tom, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of me. And I have to think about that for a moment. No, that's so true, Lord. Then let me take another path. I've learned this, that when it comes to temptation, even if there isn't a doorway out, God will cut a door for you. He'll always make a way of escape. It's when we stop and take the bait. It's when we stop and go after it. Or we allow our flesh just to be drawn in and like headlong. Amen? Well, I remember one time my dad brought home some giant magnets. These things probably were about that big. About that thick. And my dad said, listen to me. These are very powerful. Do not put them so they attract together, because they will smash your fingers. So I'm walking around the garage and I'm like this, and man, the screwdrivers, wham! The pliers, wham! Oh, it was just fun. Everything was going towards it. What about the other magnet? I got one in one hand. I set the other one on the bench, and I'm like, slam! Oh, man. It went like instant. I'm like, whew, glad I had my fingers back. I mean, I think one's not enough. I pried them apart. As a little kid, I pried them apart. I want to do that again. Oh. It pinched my fingers between the magnets, and I couldn't get them out. I'm holding my... So I'm walking down the driveway. They're in the house. We had like a breezeway. I can't get it out my fingers. My mom's a little German lady. She's speaking German. I mean, that doesn't help. And my dad looks at me and he chuckles. Does it hurt? It hurts. He goes, I told you not to. I know! So he grabs them and he starts tugging on them, and it isn't coming. It isn't budging. These things are tight. And I'm like, hurt. And all of a sudden it goes, magnets drop on the ground. My hands are all red. They're tapped. He goes, I told you not to. Say amen. Amen. How many of those, when we have, even in our hands, even when we're told, we still do? Oh, you're all perfect in here. But aren't you glad that even in that, your Father can still come to your help? Notice the pain was still there. It was in my hands. Sometimes you reap just a little portion of what you're doing, but God tempers the whole harvest. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. Oh, that's good preaching. Say amen. I never did that again. I never did that again. Say amen. But I still had fun with those magnets. I could stand them up on the bench and I could throw something past it, and they were so powerful, it'd suck it right in. It was just fun. I could throw nails at it, and man, they just like, oh, it was just fun. How many of us back then you made your own fun? Does anybody remember that? Oh, no. Amen? I had a family come back when the lights were on. When the street lights come on, come home. Anybody have family like that? Where did you eat lunch? I'm serious. I know I had food somewhere. Sometimes I wondered, did I eat at a friend's house? Oh, nobody in here. Amen? Who put a card in your spoke to make noise? That was kind of cool, wasn't it? How many ever ran into a car on your bicycle because you weren't paying attention? Flip over the handlebars? Yeah. I've asked this before because I've done it so many times. How many went in the wrong bathroom? And realized it after the fact. Who shut your finger in the car door before? I pinched Lynn's fingers in the car window. She got in the door, and you know, sometimes you take your hand and just on the pillar there and pull it in. Well, I had the air conditioning on, so I rolled up the windows when she got in, and her fingers were up like that, and it pinched him in. She was, you got my finger. I froze for a second. Because in my mind, do I push the button forward, or do I pull it back? Because I didn't want to make it worse. And the whole time she's like, you're pinching my fingers. I know I am. I don't know what to do here. So honestly, how many times you roll up, you don't even think about it. I'm glad I did it right. Say amen. Then I got that love look. How many of you guys know what that love look is? That's another story. In Psalm 110 verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make my enemies your footstool. Look at verse 11. Show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are what? Pleasures forever. Notice at his right hand. He rules from that area. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Everything there, notice, is a place of power and authority. It's also a place of great pleasure. How many want to be in his presence? How many want to be there? That means that can be a daily occurrence. It does not have to happen just here on Sunday. Tomorrow you can spend time in his presence. When you get accustomed to that, you want to spend time there. Because there's nothing like it. Even if you feel like nothing was accomplished, man, you've been with God. That's always a reward. That's always a great thing. Say amen. In Colossians 3 verse 1, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. It's where God administers all his stuff. And believe me, when you're at his presence, you're in his presence, you're with him, all this stuff today makes sense, even in a senseless world. That he's doing some work. He's perfecting his body. Come on. The church is being perfected even in this day and age. The bride has made herself ready. Like I shared last week, if you've been a bride in this room, you knew when your wedding day was. True? Now, you may have had somebody help you with your dress or your makeup or whatnot, but you got yourself ready. The church is no different. The church needs to be ready because one day he's going to come again. We need to be ready in that. So the bride has made herself ready. That's her portion. We can't be out doing other things when we know this is the day. Well, since we don't know the exact moment, Scripture makes it like this. In a Jewish wedding, they would be looking out the window. She'd be ready. She hears a sound that could be ready. Could be there. Nope, not yet. Hear a sound, could be ready. That's how the Lord's going to come. When the hour when the world does not think, the Son of Man will return. Many will be caught unaware. Many will be without the Holy Spirit. And they will say, give me some of yours. You can't give the Holy Spirit to somebody. That only comes from him. That's why it says, go buy for yourself. No, you need to get filled. Is God good? In Proverbs 3, verse 16, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. I love this about God, that truly that length of days is in His hand. And we don't know tomorrow. Come on. Look at what we see. How many expected the beginning of this year to be like this? I look back on my messages in the beginning of the year, and the Lord spoke that there would be adversity. Maybe I need to listen to more of my messages. Say amen. I didn't plan this out. I didn't map this out. But I want to make this statement here real clear. There's not enough that you could amass to take care of you all the days of your life without Christ. I don't care if you have a bunker that's filled full of food and water and shelter. It will never be enough to satisfy or complete. Amen? Here's my struggle with, I don't mind planning. I don't mind you having some water because power goes out of our house often. But if I had all the food and you were hungry, I'd have to give you some food. Sometimes when we have a hoard mentality, we're only looking for number one. When Jesus said, don't do that. He looked at the multitude and had compassion. Here's real faith. Seeing 5,000 and only a couple loaves and fishes. And I'll still meet all their needs. Are you hearing the word here? Too often we become so selfish and so self-centered. Given it shall be given. Amen? And if there's a nuclear blast in America, I don't want to be here anyways. Amen? Well, so praise the Lord. Say God's good. Notice that God's right hand is a place of honor. It's a place of dignity. It's a place of pleasure. Now, let's translate everybody 100 years from now. You're all in glory. Can you imagine the Father and the Son radiating all the glory? And now you're walking in the fullness of that with a glorified body. And everywhere you go, it is so joyful. It is so peaceful. Can you see how every need is met instantly? Sometimes in our life, we need to start looking and say, if God has done this before, He'll do it again. And if He's met your needs before, will He fail you now? I ask you that. I mean, it's when you're on the well-being path, you start to learn different provisions. You start to learn different comforts and different strengths. You start to realize what God will do and what He won't do. I'm ever here, been here, and said, well, I know the Lord spoke this to me, and you found out a year later that wasn't the Lord. Okay, three of you. The mind works so quick sometimes, it's like you can answer yourself and think it's the Lord. Nobody in here. That's why you need to wait on Him in those times. He'll put within you what to do. This is the way, walk in it. When it comes to services like this, these are prayed for. These aren't just times to come together, throw something together, and here we go. No, Lord, I want to hear from heaven. I want to walk in that way. He says He's going to show me the path of life. That God, I want to walk in that area. When you have the right path, you're not lost anymore. You don't have to wander anymore. Christians that wander have gotten their eyes off the prize. And each side there's a wilderness, and it's not hard to get off in the wilderness. Anybody ever been to a corn maze before? How many ever went to a good one that you couldn't find your way? It gets tiring when you can't find your way out. Now, I grew up with corn. Every corn maze I've been in, if you went off into a cornfield and had 100 acres, that's a mile that way, and a mile that way, and a mile that way, and a mile that way. You got in the middle of that, it took you forever to get out. Because you'll never walk a straight line. So you'll walk between rows, so it's possible to walk just like this. Say amen. A corn maze at least has some type of path on it. For the world, they're dropped in the middle and they have no way out. That's why we as believers need to go and rescue them and show them this is the path. There are some people so lost they have no clue. My wife and I have talked to students that have never heard the name of Jesus ever. Only in a cuss word. I've met people in this country, in this state, who have never even heard what Jesus has done for them. How many think that's lost? And you're so lost, you don't even know where to go to be found. Well, the church has a mission today. No matter what's going on in the world, we still need to reach a world. Come on, the lost are still all around us. We can get creative on certain ways, but you know what? I still don't mind holding the door for somebody at the grocery store. Amen? Come on. These terms we're using today, we're social and we're distant. How can you do both? Honestly, I understand what's going on. I'm not ignorant. But Jesus said, I'll reach people. Can I just be real honest with everybody? What if you had leprosy and you wanted Jesus to heal you? Where are you going to go? And would he run from you or no? Would you want him to? What if he said, that need is just too great for me? See, sometimes we have to put it down, like many times we make our decisions out of our strength. And sometimes that forces us in a different reality. What if you had no strength and you needed a miracle? Is the church there for that miracle? Come on, we need to be those people. I know pastors that won't open their churches because they're afraid. What are we afraid of? I'm going to speak it like it is. What are we afraid of? Are we afraid of the world? Are we afraid of a disease? Are we afraid of people? We have to look at it and say, God, if you be for us, who can be against us? I live this every day. I know the pressures of starting church, the pressures of having people. Well, then, Lord, you're able. Then I pray this, ours. Lord, not one sick among us. In Jesus' name. No plague come near your dwelling. Amen. I put a prayer covering over your family. And when we speak and say the same thing, we'll have the same results. Say amen. In this, I've spoken it out of strength and weakness. I know what it's like to hear from the doctor. You have cancer and it's in your lymph nodes. I can't give you a favorable report because I don't know what this is going to do to you. But how many of you need to hear from God in this? What's your word in this? See, I want them to know that I'm just not speaking something I don't live either. Is this too straightforward? Is this straight enough? I want us to walk in faith. That's my whole goal. If somebody isn't here, there's no condemnation. I don't look at them any different. But I want faith to arise in the church. And I want the world to know if they need healing, they can come. Can't they? I had somebody say this to me. I don't want sick people in the church, Pastor. Okay, let's make it real now. Shouldn't we pray for the sick? Or they're not welcome? Be honest. What do you want? This isn't a game for me. I mean, this is sobering. This is where we have to get down to the basics and say, if God is here, then he's able to meet every need. For some of you, you may get offended at this. I'm not trying to offend you. But when I was sick, I wanted somebody to pray for me. Not just wish me away. Or hope that I wouldn't come near. I wanted doctors and nurses who were filled with the Holy Ghost. And I remember peering through a lady coming up to me right before they're taking me out. I'm praying for you. You're going to pull through. That's the last word I hear before count back from 10. How many of those are still out there today? Thank God for doctors and nurses that love the Lord. They realize that man can only do so much. We need a remedy for the virus. not conditions. Then what if every believer got down and prayed and sought the Lord? Could God do this in the land? Could He move it out? Yes or no? Then what's our portion? Our portion is to seek the Lord. Is that too straightforward? Everybody still love me? When it comes to God, there's great blessings when we confess Him as our Lord. The greatest joy is this, that we laid hold to God ourselves, to be united to Him in participation in daily life. Then walking with God in a daily life is a great thing. My wife doesn't mind this, that Jesus is number one and I'm number two. The best remedy against trouble and temptation is always keep Him before your eyes and before your heart. If I do that and He's my focus, I can start to turn from things I've always fallen into. I also can have a strength that the world doesn't have. Say amen. Everlasting life is a surety for those who made the Lord their true and living God. You can know for sure. Everything you've ever done, the Holy Spirit, day and night, He awakens the desires of the believer. Excites them to do good. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Faith isn't idle or lazy thought, but it's active, it's busy, it's industrious. It looks to God. How about this? Somebody who is sick, why don't you lay hands on them and see them recover? How about that mindset set into the church? We have so lack of faith today. Come on, we need to rise in that area. We've been so entertained, so bombarded with other things that the Word of God has been nullified. And somebody else that doesn't care about my faith is telling me what to do. We like the separation of church and state, but now we want to tell you, you can close your church. You didn't care about me before, you wanted me out of the picture. Now you want to tell me what to do. Come on, church! We need to look at these things. We need to start declaring, as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. Now, if somebody wants me to wear a mask in the store, I don't freak out about it. I'll put it on. I'll honor the thing. I don't mind if you wear a mask in here. It's no problem at all. I don't look at that as any lack of faith on any level. That isn't in me. But faith is active. God's given us a tongue to speak, to glorify Him. Also to reach people. The enemy doesn't want us to reach people today. You stay in your cocoon. You stay in your homes. Don't speak anything about Jesus. Can you see the work of the enemy? Yes, there's a pandemic in the natural, but there's also one in the spiritual. That the enemy said, hey, I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to keep you quiet. I'm going to not allow you to reach. Did you realize that just before all this hit, we reached 14,000 homes? Knocked on every door. How many think the Lord had something planned? The Lord saw this thing come. It wasn't out of His realm. But what are we going to do now? Will God give us a victory in our trouble? Will we have a glorious end? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, it says this, and God shall deliver me from every evil work and preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom with glory, honor, amen. How many think God will deliver you from every evil work? How many believe Psalm 91 is a reality? That no plague come near my dwelling in Jesus' name. Notice these are active things. Church, I'm here to build your faith, not to condemn you. But to build your faith. Sometimes we just got to grab a hold of the Word. The Word of God gives us that. If we know that joy is there and just joy unspeakable, then I'm going to walk in it. My day isn't complete unless I'm complete with Him. Say amen. Here's what Martin Luther said. The chiefest and highest passion is this, to trust in God. This makes the difference of the people of God for those who think they know Him and those who don't. Do you know your God? That's how you know you're a believer. Everything when it comes to death, believe me, this flesh is subject. Would you agree? It only can take you to the grave. But while I'm here, I'm going to have a good journey. Amen? Is it possible to be happy even during this pandemic? Then the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. If you think about it, there's been worse things that have happened to this world than just this. Amen? How about the slaughter of 6+ million Jews? How about a madman like Hitler and Stalin being in power? Come on. Mussolini. Come on. These are still in this time frame. Lord Jesus, you've been with us. Come on. Then Lord, you'll see us through this. Let's not make this a lifetime church, but let's encourage one another. Amen? You enjoy this message this morning? He'll show me the path of life. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hallelujah. And we have an expected end that one day we will be with Him. I said one day we'll be with Him. In a million years from now, is this really going to be just a blip in the radar? Hallelujah. But God looks for faith. I want people to know that there's a pandemic, but there's hope in the church. We should be a bright, shining light in the midst of the darkness. Would you agree? You would, if you didn't, you wouldn't be here. So the truth is that glory be to God. Amen? Is he good? As we close here, how many need to be more effective in your witness today? To look for opportunities. I want you to look for that. Secondly, here is, and I had to deal with this myself. How many want to put away all fear? Because fear is torment. It really does. Thirdly, here is, how many have family members that desperately need to be reached? I want you to take that word that slowly they're going to return. How many have family members that once served the Lord that are not doing it now? Start to look at that word. Slowly they're going to return. Don't rush it. Pray for it. Too much salt makes them gag. Little by little, slowly they're going to return. Because you did. And if you did, they're easy. Hallelujah. And last year, how many want to get closer to the King? That's your desire, to get closer to the King. My heart goes out to the students today. It really does. To be home, to have to be isolated, to watch on the screen, that's a different life. For you educators, to pack that all in, that's a different world. I'll pray for God's grace upon. Amen? Amen. If you would lift your hands towards heaven. Father, we surrender this morning to you. And Lord Jesus, forgive us of every sin and trespass. Because Lord, we know if it's not of faith, it's sin. So Lord, forgive us, Lord, for walking in any fear. Lord, trusting in our own natural abilities more than yours. Or Lord, listening to a voice outside the path of life. Lord, I know it always leads us astray. Father, thank you for saving us and forgiving us of all our transgressions. If you need the Lord to forgive you, just ask Him, Lord, forgive me. He'll come in. He'll change you. Maybe there's a situation you want to be better at a witness. Pray, Lord, use me. Make this a personal prayer. Father, let your hand be upon. Meet every need in this house this morning. And Lord, most of all, Lord, be glorified as we set you at our right hand. Lord, on a practical, everyday living. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.